And he served in the Navy as a Navy chaplain for nearly 13 years. Mr. Holmes has been in the public practice and has been a Christian Science teacher for many years. He also has been manager of the Department of Branches and Practitioners in Boston, Massachusetts. Mr. Holmes, tonight, has a very special message for each one of us. The subject of his lecture is our search for identity. It is my pleasure to present Mr. Holmes.
Thank you so much for a very warm welcome. Thank you. Good evening. You know, every one of us is looking for meaning, for purpose in life. All around the world, people are searching to find identity. Recently, Mrs. Holmes and I were traveling in Asia, and we found the people of that far-off land are just as eager to find equality, to find the integrity of man's individuality, as anyone in this wonderful United States of America. The wonderful Japanese, tireless and energetic, are searching for a higher sense of perfection. The American soldier, or airman, or sailor, doing an unwanted work in Vietnam, is searching to prove a sense of usefulness in the midst of difficult conditions. The pretty Vietnamese girl riding her Honda bike through the chaotic traffic of Saigon is seeking happiness. The Chinese gentleman going through these slow, stately paces of their shadow boxing on the shores of the Hong Kong harbor are searching for a better sense of direction. When we were vacationing in India, we found that the Indian making a long pilgrimage of many miles to the city of Benares to wash and bathe himself in the waters of the Ganges River, this Indian is seeking a sense of inner peace and serenity. Yes, everywhere people are searching for meaning and purpose. Right here in the city of Oakland, the enthusiastic fans of the Oakland Raiders and the Oakland A's find a sense of identity through the challenges and the victories of their favorite teams. Even the children get involved in this search for identity. It seems that one day a school teacher was discussing self-realization, fulfillment, getting a meaning and getting the most out of life with some of her little pupils. Well, after the class discussion was finished, two of the children were talking together, and the little girl asked her friend Arthur if he had any identity problems. About 10 years old. And the little boy replied, "No," he said, "he was definitely a whatchamacallit." Now, most of us want to be more than a whatchamacallit. But sometimes our search for meaning and identity gets bogged down because we're starting at the wrong end. The high school or the college student may think of himself as a slave to required subjects, term papers, examinations. To find meaning out of life, he may identify with rebellion. Rebellion against adult supervision, against the establishment. The business person may identify himself as stymied by regimentation or link himself with the treadmill of mediocrity. Too often the housewife thinks of herself as an overworked parent, burdened with the excessive cares of homemaking. That's how she's identifying. Now, when we identify ourselves with limitations, we're starting at the wrong end. To start at the right end, we need to begin with our basic source, the one God. We need to learn more about this source, this infinite, almighty power of God's love, of God's spiritual being, forming and creating our very lives. And then we need to identify ourselves with the characteristics, with the energies, the resources of God's nature. God, who's our source, is always measuring each one of us with his own substance, with a divine purpose that is holy, that is perfect, that has direction and meaning. Now, how can we do this work? How can we do this work of learning to know God and then of identifying with God's nature? Look at Jesus. Jesus' life had direction, purpose. Why? Jesus knew where he was going because he was so well acquainted with the one God, the divine source from which he'd come. The depth of Jesus' understanding of God is indicated in his statement, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." You see, Jesus was fully aware that God's awareness of his creation was a perfect fact of man's being. That God's identification of man was always the supreme fact in any situation. And that God is always measuring and identifying every one of us with the energies of perfection, with the substance of spiritual health, with the reality of perfect being. Jesus explained this to his disciples by saying, "The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." You see, the meaningful identity which Jesus proved stemmed from a deep understanding of God and from a conscious identification with God's qualities. At all times, Jesus was consistent in identifying himself and in identifying others with the characteristics of God's nature, with the immortality of God, his Spirit, with the imperishability of God, whose life, with the reality of existence created by God, who is truth. When we were in India last August, we got up to the beautiful hill town of Darjeeling in the northeast corner of India, a veritable Shangri-La. And there we met an American boy, a young man, who had been traveling around Asia and now was spending a few months in Darjeeling. He acknowledged that the whole purpose of his trip was to find a better sense of meaning and fulfillment. He said the closest he'd come to this was one beautiful night in Athens, where under the full moon he had spent some time in the classic glory of the Acropolis. But he acknowledged that he was still searching. Do we have to go somewhere to find meaning, to find fulfillment? Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Right where we are, we can find and prove a meaning to our lives, a meaning that is fulfilling, that is rewarding. Doesn't it seem reasonable that as we learn to know more about God, and then learn to follow through by measuring ourselves the way God is measuring us? Doesn't it seem reasonable that as we learn to take these two steps just as Jesus did, that we can find a better sense of meaning and purpose? Well, how can we do this in a way that's orderly and practical? Many people have found an answer to this question through studying a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Now, Science and Health is a book that Christian scientists use to help them understand the Bible better. Science and Health will open up the Bible promises. I'd like to point out that Science and Health is written by the New England woman, Mary Baker Eddy, who discovered and founded Christian Science. Now, one of the ways in which Science and Health helps us in our search for identity is by helping us to know God better. Now, it accomplishes this through the use of seven names for God. Mrs. Eddy has chosen these names to precisely define God's nature. And these synonymous terms include the names divine principle, life, love, truth, mind, soul, spirit. Most of these names for God are found right in the Bible. I've already mentioned briefly how Mrs. Eddy utilized the terms mind and soul and spirit all through Science and Health. And you see, as we learn more about God through the acquaintance with his various meanings, we broaden and expand our understanding of God. And therefore we gain a fuller understanding of our own true nature. This is what Jesus did. You see, in his own teachings, Jesus referred to God as life. He said, "I have come that you should have life and that you should have it more abundantly." And Jesus also refers to God as spirit and as truth. Paul, in his writings, he infers that God is mind And John speaks of God as love. So we see through the study of the Bible that the Bible itself uses a variety of names to describe God. Now somebody may say, what in the world should we have various names for God? Why should we do this? They help us to enlarge our awareness of the immense power of God, of the significance of His meaning to our lives. And then as we become better acquainted with our basic source, omnipotent spirit, of course we're going to find a better understanding of the significance and the limitless nature of our identity and purpose pouring out from this source, moving forth from God, but never separate from the Almighty. Because God, who has created every one of us, is always with us, always maintaining and sustaining a perfect sense of direction, of freedom, of integrity. For example, when we begin to learn that God is infinite spirit, all power present everywhere, we begin to see how impossible it must be for matter to have anything to do with what God has created. God, being spirit, creates man who is spiritual. And God, who is spirit, does not create suppositional matter. Therefore, the apparent reality of matter, its apparent limitations, can have no basic foundational hold upon our experience as we learn that our source is infinite spirit and our being spiritual. Well, in the same vein, as we learn something of God's nature as infinite love, how can there be any room for fear or anxiety, which God never made? When we learn something of God's nature as limitless intelligence, we begin to know something of His meaning as infinite mind. Now, God, who is mind, infinite spirit, the only life of man, ever-present soul, this one infinite creator is always forming man of God's own substance. Therefore, our source, the one God, is creating each one of us of the beauty of infinite soul, of the substance of infinite spirit, with the harmony and the direction of divine principle. When we begin to reason in this way about our source and about ourselves, the result of this one infinite cause, then we're starting at the right end. Then we're going to find that we are identifying ourselves and others correctly, and we're going to find meaning and purpose to our lives. There Many times, of course, many different ways in which we will start at the wrong end and identify ourselves with limitation, identify ourselves with materiality, or with fear, or with frustration or emptiness. Sometimes we start at the wrong end by identifying ourselves with disease, physical limitation. How often do we do this? Measure ourselves with some ache or with some pain, and then say rather discouragedly, "That's me. That's my poor body." Haven't you heard somebody say with some pride, "Oh, my aching back"? Now, when we do this, we are starting at the wrong end. We're being preoccupied with a false, ignorant sense of our source. We are measuring ourselves as a product of undependable, destructible matter, instead of as being the product of the one infinite God. Every one of us can learn to start at the right end, can learn to measure ourselves as the consequence, the outpouring of God's creative mandate, that man be perfect, that man be whole, that man be spiritual. I'd like to share with you the experience of a man I know who learned to do this. He'd been troubled for some time with a severe intestinal disorder. Finally, things got so bad, he asked a Christian Science practitioner for help. Christian Scientists learn to rely on God for their health, and they learn to pray to God. And by prayer, I mean they learn to acknowledge God's goodness and power in every avenue of their being. And they learn to reject everything that is unlike God's goodness. Now, whenever a Christian Scientist should find, or anybody else should find, that his prayer is not proving successful, there are other Christian Scientists experienced in healing work through prayer who can help us. These people are called Christian Science practitioners. And you will find them listed in the Christian Science Journal. Now, my friend of whom I'm speaking, after he'd called a Christian Science practitioner, he didn't just put up his heels and say, "All right, I've got somebody praying for me, I'll just stop." He said that he wanted to go right ahead and bring a full measure of his own prayer to this healing work. So he selected a neighborhood Christian Science reading room as a good place to study and pray. And every day, he spent nearly 2 hours in the quiet haven of the reading room. You see, he was praying to know God better. He was studying to learn more about his basic source. And things began to happen. Well, the first thing that happened, he began to grasp the spiritual fact that God is infinite love. And so he began to see that as long as he had love at the helm of his thought, he didn't need to be afraid. He began to see that love, who is God, had never created fear, never created a fearful man. Therefore, he reasoned prayerfully. He was going to stop being fearful. He was going to be more joyful, more trustful in what God was already doing and creating. Then he reasoned that since God is infinite spirit, matter couldn't measure him. Matter couldn't tell him anything about his basic being. Why, since God had created man spiritually, so-called discordant physical organs had nothing to do with his basic identity. Instead, he reasoned, his basic being was always being formed, always being sustained and maintained by the infinitude of the one cause, infinite spirit. You see, with this reasoning, which we call prayer, he was starting at the right end. He was beginning to measure himself with the spiritual qualities that characterize God's nature, with the integrity, the completeness of divine life, with the indestructibility of spiritual substance, with the harmonious action of God's goodness. With this fresh viewpoint for prayer, for identification, for measuring himself, starting with God instead of matter, following through by measuring himself with spiritual qualities and ideas rather than through the material senses. It wasn't long before the physical difficulty disappeared and he was healed. Now, from this man's experience, we see how coming to know God better can bring every one of us a healthier sense of identity. It doesn't matter where we are. Every day, we can learn something more, something new about our basic source, the one God. We can learn more of God's nature as infinite mind, as all-compassionate love, as all-embracing soul. And then we can follow through by measuring ourselves, by measuring others with the characteristics, the substances of God's creating. Measure ourselves with the liveliness of inexhaustible life, with the indestructibility of spiritual substance, with the beauty, the harmony of all present soul, with the order and direction of God, who is divine principle. Then you see, then we've started at the right end, and then our lives are going to move forward with fresh meaning and fresh purpose. There's another side to this coin. How often do we start at the wrong end? When we're preoccupied with the apparent limitation of things around us, we just tie ourselves to recurring crises, to frustrating experiences in our search for identity. Look at all the limitations around us in the world of matter. How did we get into this bind of being submerged in materiality? Things were different when we were children. Do you remember those days? In those days, our education along matter-oriented lines of thinking often seemed exciting and exhilarating. Don't you remember? Why, the whole world was our oyster. Every day we were going out to make some new, wonderful discovery. We knew that anything was possible, and we were ready to go right out and conquer the world. What happened? Well, you know, with some of us, sort of like a bottle of pop that stood around open too long. Some of us began to lose our fizz. You know, with some of us, now that we have a few more miles behind us, sometimes it looks as though the sparkle had just drained out of our life's adventure. Well, I suppose it's no wonder when you look at this mixed-up world in which we live. Look at the contradictions facing us. Here on one side, we find billions of dollars spent in space exploration to put men on the moon. And then, on the other side, we find poverty in our cities, crime in the streets, pollution in the atmosphere and the waterways. And then there are these other contradictions. One day you'll find that everything is just beautiful. You couldn't feel better. And the very next day, you feel discouraged or ornery. Had you ever noticed that with hope there's doubt? With confidence, fear slips in. When you're trying to be loving, along comes hate and criticism. And then, with life there's death. Why, to our dismay, this world of the five material senses isn't what it was promised to be in our childhood days. It isn't a world of limitless possibilities. Rather, it's a world of specific limits, hardships, frustrations. You know, often this development is called an awakening to reality. People will say to you, now look here, you've got to be pragmatic, you've got to put up with limitations. Don't be fooled. This development of being submerged deeper and deeper into the aimless wanderings of materiality, this isn't an awakening. This is going fast to sleep. It's being hoodwinked, fooled by a sense of identity as physical and finite, disappointing and frustrating. But right where life may seem meaningless and hopeless, right there is God pouring forth His purpose, His health, His direction for every one of us. There's a friend of mine who at one time found himself at the dead end of this empty promise of materiality. Things went very well for him for a while. After his military service, he came back to the States and went back to school to work out a master's degree in education. Well, then, he felt that the future was just bright with promise. He had the training, the background for a good job. But then he went out job hunting, and he couldn't find what he was looking for. Finally, he took a routine job. To help make ends meet, his wife got work teaching school. This is just fine, but her work was in another state, 2,000 miles away. Well, look at this man's dream, his preparation for a career in education. Just seemed useless. Why, he couldn't even keep his family together. So it was a lonely and a frustrated young chap who walked into the office of a Christian Science practitioner seeking an answer to his problem. The very first thing the practitioner pointed out was that he had been mistakenly measuring himself with limitations. If he would just reach out to his divine source, mentally begin to learn more about the power of God behind him, right where he was. Begin to know the meaning of God as source, as creator, as the determiner and the only actor, the only producer of man's being and purpose in life. And then, if he would just measure himself and measure everyone else with the glorious qualities that he was discovering of God, he would soon find himself taking the right human footsteps towards better employment. Well, my friend left the practitioner's office much encouraged, and almost immediately he found himself taking some of those human footsteps. He found himself going to an employment agency he hadn't visited before. And within about 2 weeks' time, he was offered and accepted the position of business manager of a small college in the East. Before long, his wife was able to join him, and his career of family service and of building a career, this activity went forward on a new foundation. You see, my friend found the value of putting God first, of learning more each day about his prime employer, the Almighty, and then following through by the steps of identification, of measuring himself and measuring others with the characteristics of God he was discovering. You see, that's the difference between a man and a bottle of pop. When a bottle of pop has stood around open too long, the fizz is gone. There's nothing we can do about it. But as my friend proved, it's different with a man, with a woman, with a boy or girl. You see, it doesn't matter how far removed from purpose or identity our life may seem to be. Each one of us, doesn't matter where we are, each one of us can restore the sparkle to our life's adventure. Now, we can do this by learning more about our divine source, the one God, by equating our identity with spirit instead of matter, with good instead of evil. And then, in place of frustration, we can find purposeful living. We can find health. We can find contentment, companionship. Whatever our need may be, God has the answer for it. Now the Bible speaks of God in the Psalms as the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Not once in a lifetime. Not once in a blue moon. But daily. Daily the Lord loadeth us with benefits. That's a Bible promise. And Bible promises are kept. You can depend upon them. Are we acknowledging this? Are we acknowledging what God is doing for us? How often do we fail to do this? You see, we fool ourselves. We fool ourselves into believing that matter is our source. Then, mistakenly, we measure ourselves, we identify ourselves, or identify others with matter's limitations. Depending upon matter. Believing matter to be the source of our identity. Do you know what happens? We make a barrier out of matter's limitations where there should be no barrier at all. Now, we all do this. I'd hate to tell you how often I'll run up against some barrier of limited materiality and identify with it, stay stuck with it, until I wake up, until I get a fresh start at the right end by doing some acknowledging and insisting upon my source as the one infinite God in place of limited materiality. And then follow through by measuring myself with God's characteristics. I'd like to explain this a little further. Some months ago, I was back home in the Chicago area. I was sitting out on the balcony of my apartment. It was a beautiful sunny day, as we've had here today in the Bay Area, and I was enjoying the sunshine. Well, a bumblebee flew onto the balcony. And when the bumblebee left, it flew right into a barrier. Now, the barrier is a 4-foot glass partition that makes a screen around the balcony. After falling down to the bottom of the glass, instead of flying away as a bee should, this bee began crawling up the glass. Then it hit the iron ledge at the top and it fell down. I must have watched that bee for more than 5 minutes, climbing the glass, falling back, getting nowhere. It was stuck. But then it stopped. And after a minute or two, it lifted itself on its wings and flew over the barrier to freedom. In trying to get over that barrier by climbing it, that bee had been pretty foolish. Hadn't it made a barrier out of something that should have been no barrier at all to a bumblebee? In using its ungainly feet, it lost sight of its basic capacity, its soaring power. Finally, though, it regained its basic identity by starting at the right end with its wings. And off it flew. How about us people? How often do we get just as stuck behind some roadblock, some barrier, some limited set of circumstances that are just as imaginary, just as self-created as the barrier that bee flew into? And worse still, how often do we stay there, boxed in? Well, what happens to us? We lose sight of our basic capacity. We need a fresh start. We need a fresh start by discovering our soaring power. And our soaring power is the one God. God is always with us. You don't have to go anywhere to prove it. Right where we are. Right here is our soaring power. The infinite energy, the limitless everlasting health, the spiritual integrity, the divine direction of the one God. Now we need to trust. We need to trust that God is our life. We need to not only acknowledge what God is doing for us, but we need to act as if we knew this through trusting. There's a young woman I know who learned to do this. She's a school teacher. She was beset by pressures on all sides. Classes overcrowded. Some pupils unruly and undisciplined. Then she had a faculty supervisor who was always giving her some new program or curriculum to work with. She found that the pressures were building up. Conscientious young girl, she did her best. Some days she went without lunch, some nights without sleep. But the pressures and the conflicts continued to build up until finally this schoolteacher began to experience all the symptoms of a serious nervous breakdown. Fears, suspicions, confusion crept into her thinking. But out of the depths of her confusion and alarm, she realized she could trust herself to God. Even though almost daily she felt she couldn't go on another moment, nonetheless she found herself hour by hour turning away from the frightening picture presented by outward circumstances and trusting God. One day in her study, she came across this statement from Science and Health. Matter cannot connect mortals with the true origin and facts of being in which all must end. It's only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit, which annuls the claims of matter, that mortals can lay off mortality and find the indissoluble spiritual link which establishes man forever in the divine likeness inseparable from his Creator. You know, she began to think about this statement. She began to see that her hang-up with an identity crisis was not God-created. She began to see that her fears and her doubts, the pressures at school, she began to see that these things couldn't connect her for one moment with the spiritual facts of being. Instead, she began to see that the true facts about her life, the true facts about her health, about her intelligence, these true facts were always being determined by God. And God was always holding her and everyone else in his own likeness, perfect and unafraid. While moving forward step by step in this manner, continuing to lean on God, the doubts and fears diminished, finally disappeared. The conflicts were resolved. She was healed. Now, the keys to this young girl's healing were two. A childlike trust in God and a persistence in studying this book, Science and Health, which is the key to the Scriptures. The author of Science and Health, Mary Baker Eddy, this New England woman learned the value of radical reliance on God. In Mrs. Eddy's experience, the year 1866 marked a critical period. It was at this time that she suffered a severe accident. And as was her custom, all through her life, Mrs. Eddy turned to the Bible for inspiration, for encouragement, for healing. And she discovered at this point, in a very desperate physical crisis, she discovered the Bible truth that all existence, all life, all being, all identity are in God. And therefore, all was harmonious and perfect. Well, she was healed. She wanted to know the science behind this discovery, and so she spent several years studying the Bible night and day. And finally, she gathered together all the ideas that God had given her through this study, and she placed them in the first edition of Science and Health, published in 1875. Not only did Mrs. Eddy become convinced that God alone was her origin and the origin of men everywhere, but Mrs. Eddy's one purpose in life came to be that of serving God. Well, as her life continued to unfold, she developed a most meaningful sense of identity and fulfillment. She founded a church that's now worldwide. She founded a newspaper that's known the world over, the Christian Science Monitor. This newspaper was founded when Mrs. Eddy was in her 86th year. This is a life of purposeful development and advancement with God at the helm of thought. Every one of us can find life in God and therefore purposeful and complete. But we need to trust God. How often these days do we trust about everything but God? Some people even trust computers. Oh, computers are marvels of ingenuity. Yes, they'll solve complex problems. But people are beginning to find that you can't trust a computer. You see, a computer is no more valuable than the skill of the person who's running it. Let's face it, a computer is just a dumb machine. It will only digest and deliver what some person gives it, feeds it. The computer people know this, and they have a saying, G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. They say that if you take garbage and throw it into the computer, you're going to get garbage right back out of it. So it is with our lives. If we take these wonderful God-given lives and then program them with the garbage of fear, of self-centered thinking, of criticism, if we take these wonderful lives and feed them with the garbage of thinking that's all stuck with matter's limitations, well, we shouldn't be surprised if our lives lack fulfillment and meaning. There's a better programming. Follow Jesus' example. Reach out as he did to the true source of all, to the infinite, the almighty God. Draw on our divine source. Learn to know, learn to trust God. Identify, measure ourselves, measure others with God's nature. Acknowledge our unbreakable connection with divine forces. Feed our lives with spiritual data. Then, we can begin to program our careers with the superior substance of the energies of soul. These are the steps to meaningful identity. They start us at the right end with God. They lead us to fulfillment, to self-realization. Thank you.
You have just heard a taped Christian Science lecture by Norman Holmes, entitled Our Search for Identity, brought to you by the members of Fourth Church of Christ Scientist, Oakland. The next scheduled taped Christian Science lecture to be broadcast on KBRG will be Monday, March the 13th at 1 in the afternoon.